It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Nights. Hello and welcome back to Baywatch Watch Nights. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. We've got a great guest with us today. She is an actor, comedian, improviser. Please welcome to the show, Koshka Barr.
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. I have to first of all say I am so excited to be here. One of my cats is sitting next to me and he's beaming with pride.
Wow. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're nice. So excited to have you here.
Yes. Thank you. But you and your cat as well. Thank you for being here. Thanks so much, Koshka.
Oh, pleasure.
Now, Koshka, have you ever watched Baywatch Nights?
No, I had never even heard of it. And this completely caught me off guard because sure. I thought I was going to be watching Baywatch people in bikinis.
Right.
Right. And instead, you got Space Spore.
This episode was so weird. But yeah, it is funny how many people just didn't even know it existed. Everyone's heard of Baywatch, I feel like, pretty much. But Baywatch Nights, it's a pleasant shock when you find out this show existed.
Yeah, I think shock is an understatement.
Yeah.
Really, it blew my mind in the most delightful, wonderful way. And I'm so glad I kind of went into it blind with my expectation of David Hasselhoff, who, by the way, has had a very lucrative musical career in Germany.
Yes.
And a hit single, Duo, which I had an illusion of grandeur. I was going to try to learn the song by heart and be able to sing a little snippet of it here, but I didn't get to that.
It's okay. I love that idea, though.
Yeah.
There, you know, it is funny. There's an episode. I don't remember what season. Maybe you do, Charlie. It was like season four or something. An episode of Baywatch, the normal show, where it has like some of his music career put in there, and then it has like a performance at the end. I think of him live in Germany.
It's like a full something about
freedom. Is it that song? The one he had about freedom? Something? I don't know. I don't remember. Sorry.
Yeah, but yes, they definitely put that in there. Yeah, well, I mean, we might as well just jump into talking about season 2, episode 10, Space Spore. Yes. I this is maybe the first time that Baywatch has done the entire opening using stock footage entirely.
So weird. So this is not normal at all. Yes. This is like, I was like, it was kind of a little jarring. I was like, what's going on here? It was like a long time of just
stock footage of Space Shuttle
and ADR.
Yes. And Houston. And like, and just being like ADR of stuff going on and them being like, they were like, we have to figure out how to get this Space Shuttle to California.
I was very, this was confusing. Okay, the opening was very confusing to me because it was like, at first they were like, the weather's not good. You can't come back, it sounded like. And then they were like, there's going to be some family members, I think, in like Omaha that are going to be pretty disappointed. And then they came back anyways. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And also, I just have to pipe in here that when I started watching, I thought that you had sent me a link that had been hacked. And I had somehow accessed secret government files from
I love that.
Or 60s.
Oh my god! Yeah, this is actually our debunking the moon landing episode that we were preparing you for.
Conspiracy show.
That's funny. By the way, Koshka, you might be the first German speaking guest we've had. Did you notice that the title was in German at the top of the episode? It said,
Also, I thought that it was,
and all the dates.
Yeah. Oh yeah, all the dates on this episode were too. Yes.
And that's what even more confused me, because I thought that I had specifically been targeted. I have a theory that I'm not losing my mind because I'm so scatterbrained, but that I'm actually a time traveler and I can play tricks on myself by zipping through time and hiding objects from myself. So I thought this was another one of my pranks.
One of your pranks on yourself. Manipulate Baywatch Nights.
Yeah,
you're in the TV show Dark.
I never saw that one. You guys both saw
German,
it?
German, German.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that is my life, and I just don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
The reason why it's in German is because, so Baywatch Nights has not been remastered or re-released or anything. It's only available on YouTube, basically. And the person that uploaded all these videos took a German DVD of it and like ripped it from there and put it up there. So we always get like the title in German at the top of every show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Actually, this was, I looked up the translation. I'm going to brutally mispronounce this, so apologies, Koshka, but Gefahr aus dem All? Does that sound like something? Yeah, is danger from space? Is that about what it translates?
Spot on, yes.
You know, I actually like Space Spores better. I kind of like that title. Usually the German title's better, I feel like, but this one.
So, yeah. So as the space shuttle is re-entering the atmosphere, it looks like sparks are coming off of it, but what this is some space dust.
Yeah.
That is a contaminated material that serves as the propellant for the rest of the episode.
Right.
I guess it's so funny because, like, I guess they're doing it to try to make it more sci-fi, but it's, like, really not important that it's the 11th of December or the 12th of December. Like, that isn't really important, but...
Good point,
But we're on Burton Farm. It comes in through the window of the barn. And then a bunch of guys in hazmat suits come running out. This is the environmental investigation team.
Oh yeah, and did they ever say that? I just heard EIT. I missed it.
I missed it as well.
Yeah. So, I love that.
I made a few notes and I made a note about that one because at some point they asked, what are you in the EIT?
Yeah, and when he calls the guy, the farmer.
Yeah, and that's none of your concern.
Yeah.
They just blow them off.
Yeah, it was like a weird cold call this guy did to the farmer, Gil, I think his name is. And he's like, it's just like, hey, this is EIT. And then like, what is that? No, you don't need to concern yourself with that. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I think you should explain what's going on, right?
I got that later in the episode because when they set up the perimeter to block everything off, it says environmental investigation team, like quarantine or something. Like,
So,
that's
funny. They come in, take the farmer, his daughter, and poor Jasper, the dog.
Oh, yeah, Jasper.
Outside. And then they use their like radioactive their Geiger counters to look around. They don't find anything, so they leave.
Isn't that strange? Yeah. Why didn't they find anything? It's because we do know that there's stuff there, so they never found anything. Weird.
Yeah.
But not radiation, apparently.
They were looking for the wrong thing, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess they were looking for the wrong thing. They should have been looking for Space Spores.
Yeah, Space Spores. It's right there in the title.
And this stuff, essentially, it makes people explode, except for the farmer.
Yeah, I didn't. That made no sense. Look, I'll say, since we're starting to get into it, I was like, this is one of the most confusingly written episodes.
Yes,
I feel like the script is like 15 pages long because even this scene, the hazmat stuff, it's all like slow mo, and I was like, do they just need to fill time? Yeah, it's so long.
I have an explanation for the farmer.
Okay,
so Jasper is clearly the dog of an 80s cocaine dealer, being that buff Doberman.
Yes.
And so the farmer Mr. Burton, was clearly a cocaine dealer and died of a cocaine overdose. And
he
OD'd.
He was like, you know what? Like, this shit is way too trippy. Let's go up to the attic,
we'll space
daughter.
Out.
Let's go up to the attic, Katie, and then I am going to just do rails until I die, and you have to watch, which is why she's so traumatized.
Yeah, okay, that all checks out, actually.
I also thought she was traumatized silent, but then they just didn't have her speak for a long time, and then she spoke just fine. Also, like, at the end, like, it's funny, but, like, their thing is, like, here's a new dog to replace the one that exploded. And she's like, oh, this is way
Puppy.
Better.
It's the same type of dog, too.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the time to get a different. Oh, it wasn't the exact same kind? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was like, I think it was closer to like a dachshund mix.
I feel like if your dog...
Definitely was a more gentle looking dog.
Maybe, look, maybe I'm in the wrong here, but if your dog explodes before your eyes, maybe your next dog just doesn't remind you of that dog.
Yeah.
That's
or
how
just
I feel like.
Or you know what? Or I might be good on, I'd be like, you know what? For a little bit, I'm good on the pets.
Yeah.
I need to like process the one that exploded. Sure. And then when I'm ready.
Yeah.
Because I bet Aunt Clara or whatever who shows sure. up at the end, I bet she's like, oh, now I got to take care of this fucking dog, too. This kid can't.
Got to live at this place. Got to take care of this dog. Yeah.
And we have to also mention the cat.
The poor cat.
The cat, but was part of that what they called the logical progression. Of yeah. the spores yeah. moving up the food chain from the cockroach to the rat to the cat.
To the cat.
Dog.
So, I was like, you're leaving out some steps in between there, Baywatch.
Yeah, nights. And like, shouldn't it just be, because like this kind of follows Outbreak, the movie. It's kind okay. of that's kind of our, you know, but I'm like, wouldn't it just try to infect literally anything it could?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's spores too. It doesn't need to just go one yeah, animal at a time.
It didn't just yeah. get lucky and there was cockroaches, rats, cats, and dogs in this barn.
The
it's
perfect
always
chain
a
of
farm
events.
Too, right? Mm-hmm. Like it yeah. always happens at a farm.
All those animals exist in places around the world, not just on farms.
What do you think? Okay, here's a question. So when Mitch finds the collar,
yeah.
he hears a tingling in the bush.
Oh yeah, what was that?
And I thought that was going to be the cat.
But it wasn't.
It is the cat.
Did okay. the cat explode off screen?
Yes.
I will not accept that the cat exploded at all.
Okay.
And I, with my love of cats, I told yes. myself when the cat came on screen and I paused it to make a photo of the cat with my for my own record because he was so handsome.
Oh.
and when I saw the collar and it was broken, I thought, no, there is no way that this cat exploded. The cat was too smart.
Yeah.
So that was the cat just leaving a fake trail for the spores.
Oh, like, yeah.
if I break my collar, yeah. leave it here, the spores will think I exploded and I'm getting the hell out of town.
I think you're 100% right.
Okay.
You know, by the way, Koshka, by the way, is like someone that loves cats probably more than anyone I know in this world. Amazing person, Koshka, you are, and your love for cats. And I'm watching this episode, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Because I didn't like look at the episode ahead of time. We didn't like match up the episode with you per se. I was just like, I can't believe. Thankfully, it's all supposedly off screen. I actually buy your theory, but I'm like, a cat blows up in this episode. You got to be kidding me! I was like, so I apologize for that.
So the cat didn't blow up,
but it didn't blow up. Now that we know this,
no, that jingling sound was the cat packing his suitcase.
Yeah, he keeps it in the bush.
Yeah,
but
as any clever cat.
Yeah.
Okay. So also, I you know as a person who is like loves dogs quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and has
yeah.
one and would be devastated if anything happened. That dog exploding. That's pretty funny. The way that dog exploded while they're like, oh no, Jasper's gonna eat us, and instead
yeah,
he explodes. And it's like going to a rave where it's neon.
Oh, I did that. That was funny.
Paint,
yes,
like black light, like
glow in the dark neon paint. Yes. Very funny that's the choice.
And I also think the way that spores work is that mm-hmm. spores are inhaled. They're airborne. They're released mm-hmm. yeah. and they're airborne and they're inhaled. So the idea that Mitch and Griff walk in the door and it's fine. I'm like, no,
that didn't make no sense.
All done. You're
I
all
like that
infected.
They did the paint just so we had that visual that was
yes.
fun. You know, the veins later and all that
the
stuff. I think
cool.
that was great. But you're right. They're infected. There's like
yeah.
no way. I'm like, what is this? Concept
yeah.
that the spores just go in and they're immediately all go inside one or two people and they're not contagious anymore. I'm like, but then she's like, don't touch me. So I'm like, it is very contagious if it's just by touch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't get any. Oh, we did get one. I guess we got one. They could have done a little more with the exploding guy.
Oh,
the scientist oh,
yes, yes.
in his suit.
Yeah.
yeah what happened there? It was the sample.
It I guess, was a yeah. sample as he was, yeah, he's like, blah, blah, and then we get, he does kind of vomit onto the.
He does. I wish it was clear.
I would love if it just like went.
And I think they were prepared to shoot him, right? Which is not going to stop.
They were prepared to shoot
him. I know, right? That doesn't help.
The way that these guys had these giant
high-powered
guns and were
assault
just
rifles, and they're supposedly just like scientists, like investigating something.
And their leader, that the lady,
yes,
she was so intense, and
she really was.
It was hilarious to me that she was such a stickler for protocol, and you have to have your suit and everything. And then halfway through the show, she rips off her helmet,
takes off her helmet, keeps it off.
And then I thought, well, that must have been in her contract. It's like, I'm only going to wear that helmet and cover my face for half of the show, and then I'm taking it off because people need to see my face.
I think you're right. Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like with every superhero movie, basically. They're supposedly like hiding their identity, a lot of these characters, but then they're just like constantly taking their helmet
weird,
off.
But it's eventually like, they don't want to, like in The Mandalorian, where Pedro Pascal is like, I don't even need to be in the suit.
Yeah.
So you just shoot the show. Because like that's what he's done for like the last two seasons. He's just doing the voice.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's someone else in the suit. So that way he's like the helmet's like really advantageous because he can go work on other stuff.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like if this is your first role, you really want to be on screen. Once you get famous enough, you're like, I'll do anything I can to just not have to do a lot of work. Okay, so next day on the farm, we have the exploding rat, and then who is the only thing left is a claw. Next day on the farm, Teague has asked Mitch and Ryan to meet him at the farm, and the farmer and his daughter are missing, and
That was strange. I was like, don't even say that they're missing. Just say that they went there to investigate and wait, they're missing.
Yeah.
But instead they're like, the police are looking into it, but they're not looking here. Don't worry. They're not going to show up.
They're not looking at the farm.
Yeah. That made no sense. I was just confused. I was like, is there an investigation? I don't think there's an investigation.
It's now a crime scene if they are missing.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah. And obviously no one cared about the farmer or his daughter in any of this, or Jasper, or the cat, or the rat. Or the cockroach, because when all the people in the hazmat suits were there, they just ran around and left them
ran
completely
around
exposed.
Them.
Yes.
Didn't even say anything of like, you need to get out of here, or here's a hazmat suit for both of you.
I know, right?
This will be a little bit big for you, young lady, but put it on because you're going to thank us later. Like, they just pretended they didn't exist.
That is a funny visual you just brought up that, like, they probably don't have kids' hazmat suits, so this kid's just going to be lost in this giant hazmat suit.
It also just seems like no matter what, any person is that's not a member of their team is just totally expendable. Like, if you're even at the farm, you should just you should die. But also, so the farmer, like you said, the farmer and the daughter were not missing, and now it's the next morning, and now they are missing. Who discovered them missing? Who called the police?
Exactly. Almost
who
impossible.
Reported it. There wouldn't be any, they didn't leave since last night. And at first, I thought maybe later in the episode, it was going to be some sort of abduction. But instead, they do you think it was carbon monoxide poisoning or something? I mean, other than the cocaine overdose, which we know it was, but I still want to know how the farmer ended up dead.
So confusing, right?
And
it
the
doesn't
daughter
make sense.
Was like perfectly fine. Like the nut, not like she's like hanging on for dear life.
That's like, it's almost like it's from another movie where it's like there's some monster on the loose. The monster killed the dad. She was hiding and saw the horror before her eyes.
The horror.
But,
we
know how this thing operates and it has nothing. What? How did he die?
Besides how did he die? And she doesn't seem to care. Rather than for her, it seems like the dog is more of an issue than dad.
Yeah.
She did it. She killed him.
She's lost both of her parents. Yeah, maybe she killed them both.
Oh, do you think he had it killed him in childbirth? No, that doesn't make sense.
So it's
she killed her mom in childbirth.
I thought you were saying her dad. I was like, when he came.
Yeah, yeah.
He died.
Yeah.
So because I also, I noticed that that little girl didn't cry or yell for help, or when she heard people downstairs, or, I mean, obviously the spores were silent until they exploded. So someone also, I thought it was hilarious to me that David Hasselhoff, okay, Mitch is that his name?
Yeah.
That he, when they said they're missing, he said, "Oh, look in the house." Of all the places,
yeah,
to go, like that would be the last place I would think. If you know they're missing, obviously you tried the house the first place, right?
Yeah.
It would be funny if they opened the door and they were just sitting there having breakfast. Yeah.
What seems to be the problem?
Yeah, I'll go look in the house. You guys go look in the barn.
It is funny. Now I'm remembering, I'll go look in the house, but then he just goes outside and looks around outside. He doesn't go in the house.
He does.
He's a liar.
He is.
Yeah. And then, so we kind of like learn that in this episode, I guess, that Teague is kind of a rogue agent in the sense that he doesn't get a lot of buy-in from whatever his agency is. We still don't know what that is. But the only people he can get to help him are Mitch and Ryan, who are not qualified for this.
No. Yeah.
Mitch is like, but Mitch's pull is like, he got that whole hospital evacuated.
No questions asked.
And they're like
yelled at her. He was like, just do it.
Mitch, we have evacuated. We've got the recompression. Whatever you say, Mitch. For you. And we will be standing by in case you need us.
Yeah. But out of viewpoint. Yeah.
I think that ambulance traveled at the speed of light because they traveled from a rural farm to Long Beach.
Good point. That's a long drive, wherever it's coming from.
They got there really fast. So basically, while Ryan and Teague look through the barn, Mitch finds the cat collar. The cat has packed its bags and moved on. Ryan finds the exploded rat paw. And she says it was recent and she doesn't know of anything that can do this. And I think anything could do that. I think anything could remove a rat's paw.
Yeah.
They have very thin appendages. You know, like. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like another animal could have like ripped it apart or something like that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She just, all she eliminates is the possibility of it being a shot with a shotgun. There's no shotgun pellets by there. So no, it's not that.
Shooting rats with a shotgun.
That's insane. That's overkill. That's truly the good term of usage of that term. Overkill indeed.
But she's like, I don't know of anything that could do this.
to that point, they
seem like the most fragile animals on earth. Like
they're prey for a lot of things.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the rat could have done it to himself.
Done it to himself because they say that if they get stuck in a trap, then the first thing they do is like gnaw off that part in order to get out. It's like
the movie when the doctor who's hiking gets a rock.
Yeah, 100 and something days or whatever.
Hours.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just like
exactly do that. But 127 hours for a rat is.
Yeah, I forget. How many days was it?
I just 127 hours. So it was like 5 days.
You're right. I've never seen it. For some reason, I made it days. That does not make sense. You are right.
127 days.
I can't believe I haven't eaten or drink anything for 120 days. Time to saw my arm off.
Yeah. It's a much longer movie.
Yeah.
We get the credits. Mitch is looking through the woods and he hears the tingle. But he doesn't see the cat, but they pan down to the bushes, and on the YouTube stream, I couldn't quite tell what it was, but there's something
it's like
in there.
Bushes are just shaking.
I think it's just the cat packing its bags.
Yeah, cat
exactly.
Bags. Yeah.
Yeah, he has one of those little rolly bags, but one of the wheels is broken, so he has trouble pulling. He's like, oh, damn it, I should have got this wheel fixed.
So Teague says he needs Mitch, and he found something, and then Mitch asks him if he has Indian blood in him.
Oh, is that what he asked? Yeah, I listened twice.
Do you have Indian blood in you?
Okay, I don't know what that means.
No.
I could not understand what I was saying, and this is what I wrote down. What, do you got a little Indian butt or something? That's what I thought he was saying, and I was like, I don't know what that means. Okay. I still don't know what it means, what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
Maybe, is it like the idea of like a tracker?
That's it, I was thinking.
Maybe that's what he's, I don't know.
Yeah, but either way, not cool.
No, not cool at all. Oh, by the way, real quick, I forgot one thing. Going back to the rat for a second, when Ryan finds it in Teague, did you see that box next to her? It's Folger's coffee. It's a box of Folger's coffee. How's that? I mean, there's a rat right next to.
I know.
Folger's coffee.
I think the rat was obviously a dealer. Maybe he was doing like wholesale and buying sure. in bulk and then selling to his friends.
The rat's operating like a Smart and Final.
Yeah. What a loss for this community. Like, I know. This is where everyone was getting the their economy. Coffee from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they're looking through the house and they find Gil's. Oh. We just figured out how he died. He died of a friggin' heart attack because he didn't have his nitroglycerin pills.
Oh my God, is that what they were going for?
I think that's what they're going for. Is he didn't have his pills. Oh my God,
they needed to say a line. Like, yes. Ryan spying him and going, this man died of a heart attack. Something.
Yes.
Or at least take the bottle of pills.
You were probably right, though.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. also, okay. like, take the fucking pills upstairs.
Yeah, take the pills. Don't have a heart attack right now. Your daughter yeah. needs you.
Well, that's what happens when you're high on coke. You don't think
that's true. That's yeah. true.
And you have a heart attack.
Yeah, he was trying to hit that like perfect, because like the nitroglycerin pills are going to bring you down, but the coke's mm-hmm. going to bring you up, and he's just trying to be right in the middle.
Gotta get that balance. Yeah,
you need that.
Beep on it.
So yeah, he left that. So then, but then we get Mitch's detective work.
Sherlock Holmes moment. It is Sherlock funny that Ryan Holmes makes fun of him. Moment.
Yes, and then he still does it, which is like, okay, so he just poured himself a cup of coffee. He was sitting right here, and he heard a noise. And, like, if I hear a noise, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to take my entire non-wheeled chair and pick it up and scoot it over to look at what it was. I would just look with my – and then I would get up out of that chair, and I would walk over, and I would see what's going on. But Mitch says, that's why the chair was pointed this way.
Okay, yeah.
And then he goes out and he's like, something drew his attention. He had just lit a cigarette. So like, God, this I'm like feeling worse and worse for Katie. What is Katie's life? That's just like
it's rough, I think.
Yeah, smoking, taking nitroglycerin pills, doing coke.
Coke like,
yeah.
Doesn't say a word ever. He has no lines.
So they then,
give zero lines.
Yeah.
So protective instincts.
No protective instincts. He did not do anything to protect his dog.
Yeah, is the idea that he saw the cat pack up its bags and leave, and he was devastated, and he said, let's go up to the attic?
Right, because, or were they
or there's an explosion of some sort. Jasper. Like, I don't, that, okay,
but,
is that
but
what
it, she later is like, Jasper would never hurt me.
That's exactly, that's why I was like, has this kid not seen any of the things that have happened so far? What's going on with this?
Yeah.
It's so strange that they went in the attic and there's still no reason for it.
No.
Because it's not like, yes, because even the rat and the cat, they don't even show them displaying aggression.
Mm-hmm.
So why then, like the only thing that we see displaying aggression is that dog. Which it is like a Rottweiler, so I'm
and
like,
Mitch
or
on
a
the
Doberman,
phone.
Doberman Pinscher, sorry. But it's like, yes, but yeah, Mitch on the phone. But like, this doesn't cause aggression. It causes exploding.
Yeah. Yeah, why is that dog so angry?
Why is the dog so angry?
I think
why
because
has it become
the cat,
a zombie?
I think because the cat left him and didn't say anything. He just
Aww.
The cat and the dog were married. Yes, the cat and the dog were married. He's not a great husband. And so the cat needed to leave under cover of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect opportunity presented by the space spore.
Yeah, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then now, and now he's like, where's my wife? Okay, so once they find the cat fur, Teague says he can't look into this because his access is limited. So I'm like, he can't do a lot. He's supposed to be like the big sci-fi mucky muck, but he can't do anything. So Ryan is like, I'm going to send it to UCLA.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I was confused.
Yes.
I was confused too. So it's like, okay, she's going to send the samples. When did she do that? Or did she not? Did she just talk to him over the phone? What was
she said she was going to telefax them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's a telefax at this farm.
Yes.
You're telling me there's a telefax at this farm.
And what is a telefax? Can it ship a rat paw?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
The thing is, like,
is it just a fax, basically?
All she could send was information.
Yeah. So
like
it doesn't
she could not
help.
Send things. Like
might as well just talk to him on the phone.
We still don't have that technology.
Yeah, she basically at best photocopied a paw or something like that. But what would that tell this guy? Not much.
Well, this guy immediately knows that it's a space borer.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, and this UCLA guy says organism infects the animal, reconfigures it, and then blows
the
it
DNA. Up. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it operates like a plant to spread its spores, which we know like plants will launch them up into the air.
Yes. I wrote this down because just bad writing it, because it says in her line there, she's like, it reconfigures it. And then for some reason, it blows up. That's what she says. And then for some reason, it blows up. Next line, it operates like a plant. It explodes to spread its spores. Well, that's the reason. Why would you have that dialogue where you're
for
like,
some reason,
and then for some reason, it blows up. Here's the reason.
Yeah, that's true. So then Teague is like, I need to make a phone call. And this is where they establish that any mobile communication is tapped. So they have to use hard lines where... As generally, I would think that a hard line is a lot easier to tap.
You would think, especially back then, right?
Yeah.
I would think. Also, I was like, Teague, she was just on the phone spilling all this information to her friend at UCLA. Yes. They got it if they want it.
That's true.
Just call your friend or whatever you're going to do.
So then Mitch hears something, so he decides to go up into the attic.
By the way, when he said, I'll be back in a half hour, I was like, he needs to go to the bathroom. He needs to go take a shit. This is what's going on. And I think my theory checks out because he leaves. He's like, I'll be back in a half hour. And then it's like nighttime by the time he gets to the EIT station. So he definitely made a stop on the way.
Have you ever seen the movie Dreamcatcher?
Oh, I did once. Yeah, it's been a while. But yeah,
King thing. But
that's right. It's like a toilet monster.
It's like a
type
toilet
of thing.
Monster that goes, comes through the poop into the butt.
It's insane. Insane.
So
movie.
People die by like... pooping blood, so much blood they die.
I kind of, you know, that's such
King.
An insane movie.
This is like,
yeah,
this
right.
Is, this is the coke years for sure. This is when Stephen King.
I kind of want to watch this now because it sounds like the most bonkers concept ever.
It is. Also, the dialogue is very in the book is very Stephen King, and it's one of the few adaptations of Stephen King in which they preserved the way that the characters talk, and it's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. Like weird made up swear words and like all sorts of stuff. And then the poop stuff.
Wow.
Anyway, so they find the farmer dead and then they hear the little girl crying.
Yeah.
Teague drives to the EIT command post. A colonel comes up. And
it's funny. They didn't give her a name. It literally says Colonel.
Colonel.
On the credit. Yeah.
And Teague asks for the samples to be analyzed immediately because they need to prepare for an immediate evacuation. Of who? Who knows? All we've got is Katie because the farmer's dead.
I'm positive he stopped somewhere to use the bathroom because their station has to be close, right? They're setting up blockades and everything like that. You can't tell me they're like a half hour away. That makes no sense.
Yeah, because like Griff is like he drives up to the.
Yeah.
He drives up to the and then
that, and then use that part was confusing too. But we'll get to that. But exactly, he's right there.
He's right.
So
there.
Like, what would a half hour?
So then, hello, I guess 15 minutes there, 15 minutes back.
Still seems like it was closer though.
It does seem like it was closer, but he needed time to talk to them too, right?
I guess.
Yeah. So, I
can say the farm must have been of considerable value because it's so close to everything. It's just a very central location.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everywhere within 2 minutes.
Your space shuttles are coming down, landing on Earth close by, I guess.
Vultures are going to be circling. These real estate prospecting vultures are going
to be. Oh, I know, right? They're going to keep trying to talk to the daughter and like, look, you don't even have to talk to him about this. Just sell us the place for five puppies. I'm telling
you,
five puppies.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Jasper who? So then Ryan is cleaning Katie's face. And then the dog is at the door and he's very angry because he's now a space borer.
What was she cleaning her face? Was it just dusty?
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what the dust was.
It's funny.
For.
Just like hearing the stuff back, I was like, why was that? What? Okay.
Coke. It was ridiculous too because she just kept rubbing the same spot with a dry cloth. She didn't take water. She said, who gets you cleaned up? And Steve, it was literally just the same spot over and over.
I also think it probably was just like an on-set thing where Angie Harmon was like, I feel like I should be doing something.
Kind of reassuring this kid, like, it'll be all right.
And that's basically how we're going to communicate nurturing, is we're just going to rub that same spot.
I give her what she knows. Just Ryan should have just sat down at a table and lit a cigarette. Yeah. And like, okay, it's just like my dad's here.
So then Teague wants to bring out the civilians, but then the colonel says no. And
says, yeah, they mentioned there's a separate crew, right? What was it? Yeah. Like a cleanup crew?
A cleanup crew, yeah.
I was confused by that. I was like, how is that not just these people right here?
Right.
And where are they?
It just makes the government response seem, yeah.
I know what it is. They're cleaning up Teague's mess.
His poop.
Yeah, absolutely destroyed that bathroom.
Yeah. That would be good, because I would love if that had come in later where they were like, get the cleanup crew over to the bathroom because we have a biohazard over here. So then that allows them to get away because they're all cleaning up poop. So then they say the farmer's dead and the little girl's needs to be looked at. But then Teague basically does a very, very poor job of sending coded messages to Mitch by being like, yes, remember, it would never be my choice to disappoint you. If you were to be disappointed, it would not be me who had made the choice to do so. And then tells them that he will come back as soon as he's able to, and then says lock him up. And the way that they lock him up is just have two guys stand in front of him with a wide open space
behind him. It's like they didn't have a budget for a jail tent or something.
Holding cell or something. Yeah. So he's just out there with everybody else and gets to talk and gets and then Mitch looks at Ryan and says, we're dead. And he says, we're dead. I was like, that would be the most, like, he's supposed to be the big, like, you know, guy who's gonna make everything okay, and he just turns, he's like, we're dead, we're screwed, I'm sorry.
By the way, when she ordered him to be locked up, Teague is like, he says this line, he delivers it kind of like this, he goes, you don't have that authority. I don't know why there's like this big pause, and then she says, the hell I don't. So, all right, that's a good one.
There you go. So then Mitch calls Griff, and Griff is working on a car. Mm-hmm. And when Mitch says, can you come and get us? I would think he would say, well, the car is out of commission. Because
But I guess not.
It doesn't create a problem. And so they need to get picked up. Also later, this is jumping ahead, but later in the episode when Griff says he's been waiting his whole life to do the sirens, I would think that would be like a police car, because for an ambulance, it probably wouldn't have the same. It's like, I'm transporting
very sick person
somebody
coming
might
through.
Be dying. Yeah. Like, this is the most exciting.
It's not really
thing
an adventurous thing, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Like, okay, critical moment. We got to get this person here, or they're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because police sirens, I could see, because
he watched TV shows. He's like adventure, pursuit. I don't know. That makes more sense. I do agree with you. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also seems like he forgot that fact, because he should have done it straight away when he got in the ambulance. If he had been waiting his whole life, his very first thought would have probably been, oh, man, I get to turn on the siren. I've been waiting.
I bet. Yes. I think that in his mind, he was like, I don't want to abuse this power that I now have. So I'm going to wait for Mitch to give me permission to do so. Until it becomes absolutely necessary. Yeah. I'm not turning on those sirens. So then, but it's also weird because, like, the sirens are behind them, and then Mitch says, we have sirens too, but those sirens they're not adding anything. Like, you could use the sirens to get everybody to pull over, but the sirens behind them would be doing that too, right?
I guess,
So now you have a whole parade of cars with their sirens on.
It was more peacocking than...
Yeah.
Peacocking than actually...
It more feels like might as well turn on the sirens rather than it's necessary to do so. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
So all of these characters, were they all lifeguards together?
No, Mitch is the only lifeguard.
This is like his extra, what he does after he's off the clock for the day.
So in season one, they were private eyes. And in this season, they just investigate the paranormal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it seems like he's maybe a vampire in this one. But based on that intro, he's walking mysteriously through a graveyard.
So in the last episode,
Kosko, you're onto something here.
The last episode dealt with vampires, and at the end, it was a little ambiguous whether or not Mitch has been turned into one.
We all agreed we thought he was a vampire now, so I think this checks out.
Yeah, my time traveling self saw that episode and raced back and kind of the idea in my mind.
So then the scientist is running a test, and he gets spaceboard.
Did you hear what he said, by the way? He's like, they like asked him about something. He's like, okay, I'll be right there. I just got one final test, which is very funny to me. It's felt like that, like, this is my last day on the job.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no, he got shot in the line of duty the last day on the job. And that's basically what happens to this guy.
Roast in the oven as long as I get through this last test.
This is it. I'm retiring right after this one last test.
So then they're like, he's been contaminated. And then he explodes in his suit. They
how did they know he was contaminated?
Because he went like, oh,
sure. Okay. Here's the other thing I have a big issue with. Basically what you guys brought up earlier with like just being around like Ryan and whatnot, they would get infected, obviously, the spores. So Ryan earlier is like handling all this evidence with just tweezers and putting it in a little bag. And that's it, right? And then you're going to tell me that this guy with a hazmat suit is handling this sample and somehow gets infected and she didn't earlier, makes zero sense.
She didn't run that test.
Well, what's the test that triggered that?
The last test?
Because it was under a microscope or something?
If you just do the final test, you whoever does the final test gets spaceport.
Actually, you're probably right. That would check out. This spaceport likes those kind of dramatics. Yeah, wait till that final moment, then explode.
Likes to wait until it's time. But also, so what they were spraying him with, I thought it was like this like cryogenic, like I thought they were going to like freeze him.
Oh, that would make sense. And then figure out a way to save him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then be like, or like carbonite, like Han Solo, like put him in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I thought it was a fire extinguisher for the explosion.
It might be. Like it probably is a fire extinguisher. Like, but I was wondering, I was like, oh, are they going to do, have they figured something out? But the way that this has to work in this and pretty much everything is that the well-funded, well-equipped government agency does nothing right.
Yeah.
And then Mitch, the lifeguard, does everything right.
Yeah. That's the norm on this show.
By accident. Yeah. So then back on the farm, Griff drives up, but all the guys with guns are there. And so he just drives away.
Just backs up. That made me laugh so hard. Multiple scientists in hazmat suits with these guns. And then he just puts in reverse and gently drives away. And they're like, hey, stop. And they don't make no effort. There's no effort.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
So then we get this scene where Griff, Mitch, and Ryan are all in different places, separated by probably like 40 to 50 yards each, and are having like a full-on conversation.
No, you skipped over something. How does Griff get to the farm? Remember this unnecessary scene that's insane.
This is when he knocks out
the idea is he gets stopped at the barricade, so I guess he just goes to the side where they kind of set up all the HQ and parks there. No one notices him. And then steals an he knocks out a guy and then steals an ambulance that's there. And I was like, why? Why not just drive in his vehicle?
Also, if their plan is... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I just, before I forget, because this was something I'm remembering now that really got me quite upset watching it, is so the scientist is in the mask and then he gets punched. But the mask doesn't break, but it's hard enough for him to get knocked out. But also, it doesn't hurt Griff's hand.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was just so fast, and I wondered, what? How could that not? How could that not break? But then also knock him out.
I think the scientist was just stunned. He couldn't believe that someone would hit him in the.
Yeah.
And he just like shocked. He's like, I can't believe him.
Also, why do they have an ambulance there?
I don't know. I don't know that. Why does he take that vehicle?
To kill everybody.
It made no sense though, right? Why is he stealing this vehicle when he just parked his other vehicle right next to it. I didn't understand it. I was like, what is this?
Yeah, because he went there to steal the ambulance, I guess.
Right. But the idea is he just wants to get around this barricade. But I was like, as far as we know, it's just one simple barricade. This is a farm. Just come at it from any other angle.
Right.
Drive onto the farm.
So if I know. I have an explanation.
Okay.
It was his subconscious.
Yes.
Telling him to steal any vehicle with this tyrant because he'd been waiting his whole life.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It's like, yeah, when he gets back to the farm, how does he get onto the farm?
He just comes from a different angle, I think.
And it's like fine.
It's not like he's like, now they'll let me through because I have an ambulance.
Right.
Because that's
if he pulled up and they were like,
I would love that actually.
It's
an EMT, let him through.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where that sort of trope is coming from. The idea of like stealing this vehicle is to be in disguise. Oh, yeah. I'm one of you guys. But that's not what he's doing.
So then we get this Jasper, Mitch yelling that the dog's going to be infected and he's going to distract him.
It's funny. I wrote down, this dog has been Cujo'd. And then enough, a few minutes later, Mitch was like, Cujo.
In the 90s, Cujo was just the go-to reference for angry dog.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you would just be like, Cujo. Speaking of Stephen King.
I know. A lot of Stephen King on this episode.
Yeah. So then Ryan prepares the girl to run and that Jasper might bite her, despite her saying Jasper would never do
something. Jasper never bite. By the way, I found it funny that they're like, be prepared to run. Like Ryan was like, run as fast as you can. I was like, Ryan, just fucking carry this girl. This is just so listeners know, this is just a little girl that probably cannot run very fast. She's very small. But they're like, you better run pretty fast because you're not going to keep up with Ryan otherwise. Ryan's going to make it to that vehicle.
Yeah.
Try your best to keep up. Just carry her.
Because are also saying like Jasper might bite you. It's like if Jasper bites you, game over. Unless, of course, there's a decompression chamber that can help.
Yeah. Thankfully.
Yeah.
But it was weird that they don't follow through with the plan at all. Right. So, yeah.
No.
Nobody runs anywhere. They just stop the ball.
Mitch runs into the barn and then climbs up into the rafters and then loses the dog, like loses sight of the dog.
It was very funny to me when he first ran to the barn, or stunt double did, and the dog is running full speed after him. The dog caught him.
Yeah.
Like you can clearly see in that footage, the dog catches him before he gets in the barn. But I was like, because of course, this is a very fast dog.
Very fast.
Yeah.
And so then he climbs a rope like it's PE class.
Yeah.
And just kind of like hangs there with his feet on there. And then Mitch tells Ryan not to leave the house till they know where the dog is. This is where I was like, these people cannot hear each other. Mitch is yelling from inside the barn, and she is having a conversation with him in the house.
It's like a down the hall conversation. Yes. Like,
he's
in a barn.
Yeah, but he's hundreds so of feet far away. Away. He's so far away.
Windows are closed.
Yes. So then Ryan and Katie hear something, and inexplicably, the dog has gotten into the house.
Was the back door always open? I don't know.
Did the dog
open the door? We don't know.
Yeah. So then Mitch is going to go save Ryan because they're like, Mitch, the dog is in the house. And then the dog growls at them and then explodes all over Ryan and Katie. So then Griff and Mitch
I just remembered, this might have been earlier in the episode. I think I might have written it down. But at some point, Ryan was like saying that the way the space spore works is that it wants to keep going up right to like a higher being, so to speak, in the evolutionary, whatever, you know, that whole idea. That's why it's trying to get to human, because it can go, I don't remember the term, but it like works faster the higher up in the chain it gets. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. The idea is that like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I'm just like trying.
Yeah. And I was like, what, why would that make sense? There, right. In no way would that make sense. It's a more complex being. So like a roach, I think would be easier
for
this.
Longer, right? The smaller.
Yeah, but they're saying it takes longer for a roach than it does for a human, which doesn't.
It doesn't seem like it. Seems like everything happened fast, no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. Like it seems like no matter what the being was, it was not a long time, unless this is someone that we, the audience, are supposed to be invested in, and then it will mm-hmm. take a really long time.
Yes.
Long mm-hmm. enough for them to survive. So then,
oh, you know, I think that's what it was about to come up. I did write down.
The bigger yes. the host, the faster it'll happen.
The faster the gestation period. And I was like, I don't understand how
a lot that of stuff about joke. Gestation period.
Yeah. They did love that word.
They loved using that.
But yeah, you mentioned this earlier. I did really love the scene. Dog explodes. And then all of a sudden, Ryan and Griff walk in and we see the aftermath. And it's that like rave.
Yeah.
Neon paint is all over them. Yeah. The whole place has just been splattered with it.
Don't touch us. Don't.
Yeah. Don't touch us. You'll be fine if you don't touch us.
It reminded me of the glow in the dark bowling.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Or like absolutely. A color run. Have you ever seen those where like,
Know,
and they like, as you run through the different checkpoints, they spray you with like neon paint and stuff. Yeah. So then Ryan's veins are starting to glow. It's a cool effect.
I did like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mitch gets in with her and they got to go to the Long Beach Marina Nursery. Mm-hmm. So.
Where they have the decompression / recompression chamber for the vents.
Nursery is not a hospital.
No.
A nursery is where plants are sold, right?
Well, the same
children are the tiny
or children are looked after. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Neither of these things. Would like you wouldn't have a decompression chamber at a nursery.
Yeah, I don't know why they use that term because did it say that on the sign?
I think in the 90s the decompression chambers were used to calm small children if I remember correctly.
Sure.
Yeah. bring them down
time to decompress.
30 atmosphere. Yeah, decompress them. I also liked that once they got her down to like 30 or whatever, mm-hmm. as soon as she woke up, they just opened the chamber. Wouldn't you have to then slowly bring them
back up
to equilibrium?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so what happens to the spores, like, right?
Yeah.
Does it kill the spores? I don't know. It didn't.
The spores seem to travel back up to space.
Sure, I guess. Why not? And Mitch knew that would happen, I guess.
Yeah, and he's like, wait for all of them to get out of her. And then he knows when all of them get out because she flashes white and then looks fine.
I laughed so hard because I was like, this is just like a very visual infection. It just lets you know when it's out of the body. It's like, all right, we're done.
And it's weird, like speaking of like weird like bowling things and stuff like that, it seems like the stuff that they use at like the Museum of Ice Cream, if anyone's ever been to that, where it's
never
like,
been,
you can like lay in it and it looks like you're in sprinkles. That's what this looked like. It was just like chunks of styrofoam or confetti or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
that was just like floating out of her. Anyway, so yes, they run the barricade and then there's lots of explosions. So were these guys shooting at them not only with machine guns, but like grenade launchers?
Possibly. Well, I also was wondering. Are ambulance windshields bulletproof? Because they definitely shot it.
This one seems to be pretty bulletproof.
That's probably why he stole it. He knew initially.
It's like a tank, basically. He knows. It's like, I'm good with anything.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe he saw it on the side and they just cut that part out where it says like bulletproof ambulance.
It's a special Long Beach model. Yes,
my Long Beach nursery bulletproof ambulance. So Mitch calls it in, screams.
Yeah.
And then so Katie's veins are starting to spread. Griff turns on the sirens, says he's been wanting to do that his whole life. And then they just figure out that the communications aren't jammed anymore.
Yeah, they get just, far away enough, I guess.
Maybe it's far away enough away.
I don't know.
I guess, yeah. So then Mitch orders the nursery evacuated.
Ooh, yes. By the way, I have a quick question. When they're in the ambulance at different times, I forget. But Mitch puts both Katie and Ryan, kind of like straps them into the gurney. What was the reason for that? Is it just like a seatbelt idea?
Rough
or is it like to keep them from exploding?
Rough ride.
It's a rough ride. He knew Griff was driving
him. I don't think it's to keep them from exploding, but maybe he is under the impression that they will turn aggressive like the dog.
Oh, okay. But they definitely never do.
The only evidence they have, the only encounter they've had with the spaceport is in the form of aggression.
That is true, because everything else was the after effect. They just found evidence. Yeah.
So I guess the idea would be that maybe it's that, and I wish they had explored this a little further, that once someone is affected with the space spore, they become like a seeking bomb. And so they just, no matter what, they need to get near people because the dog got near them, and rather than attacking them, it just exploded. So it's like, you got to get close to something you can infect. So they would be like anything, but I would think they could just explode in the ambulance and take care of that.
Yeah.
And don't forget that Mitch is a trained lifeguard with many years of experience. And I think that it's probably natural to want to strap people in the ambulance, right?
Yeah,
to just be thorough and do his job.
Yeah, that's true. It is protocol, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Whether a drowning victim or a space spores infection, they're all trained the same.
That's true. So when they finally get them into they put them in the chamber, and they are going to take them. They start at 3 atmospheres, but they need to go all the way down to 30. And so as they're taking them further and further, they're starting to twitch.
Yeah.
And then the colonel and her men get into the facility.
Right. You know what? There's something very funny that happened right before that, though, is like once they know that the colonel and her men are like at the facility, but they haven't found them yet. Like Mitch says I don't remember what it was. Mitch says some kind of line to Griff that it's like basically like, do whatever you have to do to stop them. So I was expecting Griff to go out and like try to fight these guys or whatever. Instead, he just goes and locks the door. That's that's it. Just lock the door. So it buys him a little bit of time, I guess.
It works long enough, I guess.
Yeah.
He didn't barricade anything.
Nothing. Nothing.
In a lot of other shows or movies, they're not playing furniture, heavy furniture.
You would think something. Shop. Yes. He just locks the simple little doorknob. And that's it.
That I was won't like, okay. hold for long.
Yeah.
If I'm the colonel and I finally make my way into the room, have my dramatic moment of like, stop it or I'm going to kill you. And then Teague walks in behind me with a gun and I'm like, oh yeah, he was with us. And who was watching Teague?
No one. Those two guys joined this party, I guess.
Like, I would think about that. And why wouldn't those guys just turn around and shoot Teague?
There's like 10 guns here. And then he walks in with one gun, casually walks over to the colonel and then points at her. And everyone's like, whoa, okay.
And
he was holding it sideways. And no one else was holding their gun sideways. So the way he was holding it sideways was so much more intimidating that it kind of hit them at a primal level.
That's true.
Yeah. I think, yes.
It meant he meant business.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's funny too. It's just one of those things where you're like, I guess that's what this character is about, but it doesn't really make sense. Like at this point, what is the colonel doing? She's like, I'm going to kill all of you. Right. She's like, don't you keep running that machine. Like, why? Why not? You don't want this thing to spread.
I guess if you kill the host, will the space spores die?
That's unclear. I don't know. It feels like no, they would just spread more if they were truly spores.
They kill the host,
if they don't, well,
they have to incinerate it and install the spores.
They have caused the explosion,
right? So they're about to shoot the victims, I guess. Also, they're going to shoot Mitch just because she's pissed.
But they probably need the victims' vital signs in order to circulate the spores to make themselves explode. So if the
the gestation period, once again.
Exactly, you're forgetting about the gestation period.
I do not know the science behind this at all, sorry, but I'm just like now thinking, I'm like, what would it take for humans to be able to explode themselves? Like what are these spores doing to these humans' bodies that, or animals' bodies that they're able to then explode? What
is that? What happened to the drummer in Spinal Tap?
I think so.
Oh yeah,
biggest space spores.
It's explained finally after all these years.
Yeah.
Well, they reconfigured the DNA. I believe is the scientific explanation. And everybody knows if your DNA has been reconfigured, it becomes volatile.
You're a ticking time bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Be careful, everyone.
But then
don't be gestated.
Teague's threat is he's either going to shoot her or she is going to call Washington and tell them what?
I don't know. She probably should. Washington should probably know about all
everybody
this.
Everybody should be calling Washington.
Yes. This is a pretty big deal, I think.
But I would think that if they call, then he's like, I got a lifeguard and a woman and a kid here, and they are infected with something that could be the end of human life as we know it.
Right.
What do I do? Like, exactly what you were going to do. Kill them all.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in a recompression chamber? Well, then that changes
Never mind.
Everything.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That'll work.
So then finally the stuff starts to come out of Ryan and Katie, evaporate, I guess. And then he's like, all right, shut it off. And then Mitch is like, no, we have to make sure it all comes out. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan there's a flash.
Yeah.
And then Ryan is no longer glowing.
Yeah. I'm sure. See, the spores go out.
Yes. Cleverly timed cut. So that they could take the visual effect off. And then Mitch just shuts it off and gets him out.
Yeah. Everyone's good. Nothing wrong.
Everyone's good. Yeah.
The Colonel was pissed, though.
Has been called. The Colonel isn't happy, but she has to admit that it worked.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, by the way, there was a... Oh, what were you going to say, Kusha?
Oh, I was just going to say she probably never will admit. She seemed like that kind of person that will just stick to her belief system no matter what you tell her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She's a Trump.
Exactly. I wasn't going to say it, but thank you. Thank you for calling out what it is.
Yeah, true. by the way,
Spore.
More like space bore. Never liked it. Yeah. Never liked it.
We're talking about the poor. Space poor. Yeah, get rid of them.
Drain the spore.
Not very successful, this space spore. No. We're only talking 3 or 4 victims. Only one was human. The one guy. Actually, none of them were human. He was cocaine. It's cocaine.
Not a one did the scientist.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, sorry, I forgot about the scientist.
Yeah, we did lose a scientist who his final test.
He wasn't very good at his job, I heard.
Yeah.
A lot of people came up to me said. Not a good scientist. but I just remembered readily, there's this, I think it's the last shot before they get rid of all the spores, the last shot of Teague next to the Colonel. Now, remember in the shot before, like, he had, like, a gun pointed to her? For some reason in this scene, he has his arm around her shoulder, and in his left hand is, like, a walkie-talkie. And I was like, what's the story behind that? Yeah, I was, like, confused. It
is
looks like they're friends.
Get it?
And he's, like, comforting her, and he doesn't have the gun anymore. I was like, what? What was that?
You remember they did that with like the 10-year anniversary?
Oh, yes, that's right. The ET.
ET.
Maybe
they
you're right.
All
yes.
The shotguns. The shotguns. Out of the agent's hands and replaced it with walkie talkies.
The shotguns that they used to kill rats. In the that's right. Maybe it is the Spielberg edit.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
I have a fun bit of trivia.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Because I was trying to see what the cat's name was on his little on his little collar tape.
Yeah.
And it took me a good of, I want to say, 10 minutes of going playing back. And like when you click to try to get frame by frame.
Yeah.
And to the best of my abilities. And after that, I didn't Google it because I didn't want to know beyond this. I wanted to come at this just as equally unaware as you both, as everyone.
Yeah.
Bogerhus. Bogerhus.
Bogerhus?
And I didn't look it up because I wanted to not have an answer and just have this. This is what to the best of my ability, what I could make out was on his collar.
Wow. Bogerhus. What could that mean? Sounds almost like Burger House.
Or Boogerhaus.
Boogerhaus, yeah. Bogerhaus. Bogerhaus.
It just doesn't even sound good. No.
I mean, obviously it's a surname and not a first name.
Oh. Right? Okay, so.
From the House of Boger.
Oh, what was their name? The family's name? It was like Bernard or something?
Burton,
yeah.
Burton.
So could it be?
I did find...
maybe it came. Maybe it had two families and it was like a combined last name. Burton.
I found a Danish person. Or I found a city in Holland.
Okay. That's called
Bogerhus. Yeah.
Maybe that's where the cat was from originally.
Yes.
Looks like a passport.
Maybe that was a clue just for the daughter that, like, hey, if you want to find me, I'll be in Booker House.
Like Shawshank Redemption.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is
it in a box buried by the big oak tree.
Yeah.
How ignorant of me. No, it's they're in Denmark. This is Denmark.
Oh, Denmark. Mm-hmm. Denmark.
Yeah. They're Danish. But yeah, it's Greta's Christmas room in place in Scape. What's that where it's like an A and E connected? You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, what do you mean A&E connected?
A, yeah, the A, the letter A.
The letter A, but it's like
oh, the E. How to pronounce it?
Yeah,
I think it's like a I. Oh yeah, a. What? Eh,
like
okay.
A. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, Koshka. This is like our ignorant. Actually, Zach's a lot better. Zach's a world language aficionado.
I love languages. Yeah, you mean like the A and the E are like literally like melted into each other.
They are one. Yeah, they're like melted into one. And
yeah,
then,
why is no English letters like that?
Yeah, and then an O with a line through it.
O through a line through it. O with an umlaut. Oh, what else? Yeah, is there?
Or there's
O with a circle above it.
Russian, the R's one mm-hmm. this way, one that way.
English is like kind of boring in that sense. When you really think about it, like all of our letters don't have anything kind of extra added to it.
Yeah. Are they?
Where are they? No accents, you know, no like an enye in Spanish. We have nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are they?
You just have to implicitly know.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, man.
No clues here. No clues.
That's,
here.
I mean, you know what? I only needed 26. I didn't need to memorize any more letters.
Less for you is better, anyways. Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
ABCs is like nice and tight. That song.
That's it. Just ABC. Yeah. Just give me an ABC. Yeah, I don't want any more.
Oh, man. If every word just had just
cab
those three,
back.
I'd be good. Okay. So this actually got me no closer to finding out why the cat's name is Bogerhus. Yeah.
Oh, actually, by the way, real quick, since we're talking about languages, there was, last episode, the German title, I just really like this word. I'm probably mispronouncing it once again, but Vampurgeflüster, or Vampugra, it's like an umlaut U, Vampurgeflüster. Is that, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vampire Whisper.
Yeah, Vampire Whisper, yeah.
Yeah.
That was in the Space Boys?
That was the title before the episode before that. That's the title of that one in German, which I love that title. That was like, that's a good title. Yeah. Vampire Whispers.
That should be our band. Can we start a band?
Yeah, that's a great band name. Yes.
Vampire Fletcher.
That's a good name.
Koshka,
and our first album will be called Bogerhus.
Yeah. Bogerhus. Is it true that in German, birth control is anti-baby pillin?
Yeah. In the, yeah, that's one way to talk about it. Yeah,
is that really what
it's more like colloquial? I mean, that's not
colloquial. Okay,
yeah,
it's like, okay. It's like, but I remember seeing some of it being like that was the translation was anti-baby pillin.
Oh, that's the translation. Yeah. Okay, I was like, or is it the translation or is that the actual word? I was like, that's pretty.
That's a word that is used. Yeah,
yeah,
not
yeah,
the
okay.
translation, but I'm saying similar. That like yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
The German sounds very similar to the English in this.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. We just we call it what it is. There's no need to sugarcoat.
Yeah, it's an anti-baby pill. okay, so we cut to the farm, and Aunt Clara has come to live with Katie. Aunt Clara also looks like a wet blanket. I'm sorry, it doesn't look mm-hmm. like her life's gonna get a lot better. She's just standing there on the porch,
yeah,
like
yeah.
no warmth, no real
none. Yeah. But I did feel a little bad for the aunt too. I was like, why does she have to move there?
Yes,
I don't know.
Yeah, she was living in the hills of Switzerland. She was part of the
she
sound
does
of music.
Look like that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like a better life to me.
Yeah, it was either that or like she just got rescued from a cult. Like, and so she still hasn't like stopped the modesty dress. Like, she's still like wearing like Little House on the Prairie outfits.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has presumably either just lost her brother or lost her sister 8 years ago or whatever.
Oh yeah, true. We don't know which.
We don't know, but you would think that it was probably the dad's sister.
Yeah,
that would be in my guess.
What a wild idea though. This is like 2 days after the events probably.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, so your dad died a couple days ago. Here's a new dog. here's a woman who's had to upend her life.
Yeah.
Luckily, she's seems to be a, what do they call it, like an old maid.
They are, they basically, even just with that little visual, they're implying they're like, it's fine. She's doing nothing
Spinster.
Else.
She has,
nothing else she's doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She
has a Porsche to stand on now. This is life for her. Yeah.
This is the type of person Katie is going to walk in there and she's going to want to sit down and watch cartoons. And this aunt is going to be like, we don't watch cartoons.
Yeah, we don't watch cartoons.
We don't use
electricity.
We do not dance. We do not listen to music.
Yeah.
Like, just, we're off the grid.
There's a Bible. We will be reading the Bible by candlelight.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, it is funny. I laughed. I was like, you got to be kidding me. How they're just like, here's a puppy. And she's
here's
like,
a puppy.
Yay,
puppy.
Yay. And it's truly like all now is forgotten, basically. Like she's fine now, I guess.
Who cares about dad? Who cares that I watched an animal explode in front of me? My
she
dog.
She never cried. She never cried about anyone. No. She never protested and like, wait, no, stop. This is crazy.
She was upset. She was crying when they first got in the attic, but it almost was, I think, just like, there's a dead body in front of me. Not my
can
father's body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then
the fake cry of a demon child who actually murdered her own father.
Yes.
Oh
my God.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. I wanted to reveal that at the end where it was like,
it's like the space spores was a perfect
was
cover.
A red herring. Yeah.
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 So then they get back in the Suburban and then they get upset at Teague for almost getting them killed.
Yeah.
And then he says, but you didn't die. I didn't kill you. And then he's like, well, then why did you involve us? And he goes, there was no reason not to get you involved. And then it's like silent for the next like 10 seconds. And then the credits roll.
I wrote down, huh? Yeah. I was like, what?
What does any of this mean?
I don't know. It is such a weird way to end that episode. Because it is truly like, none of this really mattered.
Yeah, none of this mattered. There was no reason not to get you involved. That's why.
Yeah, okay. And someone should have brought the little girl a kitten as well, to be fair.
I know, right?
That's true.
And you know what? A rat and a roach.
And too. A rat and a cockroach, yeah.
Maybe.
And a scientist.
A scientist.
A small human.
But
brought
like,
you a scientist. Yay!
It does seem like the mobilization for this was relatively small, considering that this is right after a space shuttle re-entered.
Mm-hmm.
You would think it would be a much bigger deal.
Yeah. Wait, are these astronauts okay, by the way?
That's what I was just wondering.
Yeah, they gotta be infected probably, right?
Yeah, there were so many spores because it looked like glitter was blasting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Space shuttle. Which was
but it seemed to really, it was like, let's just go to this farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, let's be real. So many spores as we saw, and you're gonna tell me that they all just, every single spore went into a roach first. Yeah. I don't think there's enough room.
No.
No chance.
Okay. Well, that was season 2, episode 10, Space Spore. and now we have some awards to give out. Koshka, mm-hmm. you get to give out awards too.
Oh, amazing. I forgot about this bit. I'm so excited.
Yay.
So our first award is our Hofsker. This is our best actor of the episode. Mm-hmm. Anyone or anything is eligible. It's a very loosely defined category.
Bogerhus. Bogerhus.
Yeah.
And I will tell you exactly why, because when I was trying to get as many photos of and screenshots of him as possible, there's one right when the rat explodes in his face, and the expression on his face, you can see through the embers, is epic. It's showing every kind of deep-rooted emotion that he's feeling as a cat, as an earthling, as someone who's realizing in this moment his fate has just been sealed.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Beautiful. I do remember that moment, and he really does look like just you. I couldn't put it better than you just put it, but he has this look of like shock, and it just.
I challenge you this though.
What's that?
Okay.
They had to put that cat in a situation to make it react that way, which calls to mind the treatment of animals on this set. I'm saying if we zoom out, you cannot get an animal to express terror the way you can get a human to express terror unless you put them in a situation that causes terror.
Okay, actually, I have an explanation for that. It won't be as bad once you know. It's still fucked up, but it's not as bad. What they did was they went to that cat and said, "Oh, look, here's the coffee we'll be drinking on set today," and showed him the box of Folgers. And that cat was like, "What?"
Okay,
and then he got the reaction.
I guess all's forgiven.
And they were like, "We're just kidding. We got some good fine coffee over here."
But that also concerned me when that happened. Because did they blow up something next to this cat?
I hope not. Good God.
Because that was a practical explosion. I mean,
to be fair, one of my cats, if you let him sniff almost anything, he will make that face kombucha. And also anything citrus, he wants to sniff it and he gets close to it, and then he looks like something exploded right in his face, his reaction. So I'm hoping that's what it was.
Koshka, someone that also has cats, one of the funniest faces, I believe, is whenever a cat just smells something that doesn't sit right with them or whatever it is for some reason, and they make that what is this?
And
they hold it for a while too. They really, it's like they want you to see like, what's going on over here?
My favorite is when they're doing their thing and then they look up and they're still making that face and look right in the eye. That's amazing thing.
They want that. They want you to connect with them and realize you acknowledge that they just smelled something weird.
Okay, so I gotta think of who my. Do you have one, Zach?
This, I feel like there's no standouts in this episode,
right? I think I'm going to give it to Exploding Scientist. Because the way that he was like, "Hold on, I've got," like, it's almost like someone being like, "Hey, we got donuts over here." It's like, "All right, let me just run this last test." And he goes like, "Wait, and then stuff goes everywhere.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
I'll give it to him, because other than that, everyone in this for what's going on is so milquetoast about it all.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go with, I'll complete. This is because they're all kind of connected here. I'm gonna go with Jasper the dog because he played an angry dog very well. And honestly, when he came into the house, he did that perfectly. He did the like slow, like you hear the little clapping of the hooves and the slow walk. It's like very tense moment. Like, oh no, the dog's in the house with us. So
yeah, it feels job, like Jasper. He as Koshka had said earlier that he normally would play junkyard dog. So he's the type that what he's you like, do is when in the farcical comedy movie, when the person has jumped over the fence to escape from the
he's jumping up the chain link fence trying to get you.
Then you see he first has to walk out slowly and go,
"Oh yes, yeah."
And then you have to turn and go back the way you came, and then the dog comes and bites your butt.
Okay, do you think this dog got cast in this and was like excited, like, "Finally, I'm kind of breaking out of my typecast. Space Spores. We got like aliens and stuff. Awesome! I can't wait to do this." And then he saw like the description of what he's doing, and he was like, "I'm chasing some guy in a barn."
And he's a coke dealer, really?
All right.
I said I wasn't gonna do Junkyard Dog anymore, and they tricked me into
just because it's on a farm doesn't mean I'm not still Junkyard Dog. I guess
typecasting is real.
Yeah.
Okay, so next is our Jilzy. This is our worst actor of the episode. Or, you know, character or whatever.
I think I have one. It's Teague for me. And I brought this up before. I'm like, I feel like, you know, maybe he's checking out because, like, it's kind of a weird role. But he had more to do in this one, and it just seemed like, why was he so emotionless? I actually thought there, at some point in this episode, I think it was when Ryan was like investigating stuff in the barn, and he's just kind of standing there and watching her, and then came over and he's like so emotionless. I'm like, is he infected with Space Force? Yeah. I thought he was infected. I don't get what his character is this point. It's strange.
I think that's the issue, right? Is that they have not drawn his character out other than because you know, as we've mentioned many times in episode one of this season, he was presented to us as an international man of mystery.
I want that character personally.
Yes, yeah, like, so where's our Austin Powers? But you know, like, but you know, like,
yeah, where, baby space. Yeah, that wasn't a good Austin Powers. Yeah, baby space.
Yeah, baby space. Force.
It's wild, baby.
So then, you know, but instead, his only thing is to be quote unquote mysterious and vague. So like,
yes,
everything is just like, Mitch, Ryan, are you prepared for this? But there's no menace to it. There's no anything like that.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like he doesn't want it. He's like, I want this investigated, but I don't want to bother with it myself. Will you guys do this for me? I'm going to leave for a little bit, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not just have him investigate stuff too? And I don't know.
It's very interesting.
Get him more involved in the action if you're going to have this character, and as opposed to a guy that's just like, all right, I'm going to take off for a half hour. My stomach is not sitting well with me. You know what? 45 minutes. I'm going to need.
Yeah.
Actually, let's just make it 3 hours. Let's just make sure I'll be back in 3 hours.
And I'm going to need to take all of your stockpiled toilet paper.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to need all this.
So I am going to give mine. I hate to do it. I'm going to give mine to Katie.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. Sorry, Katie. And I think part of it is this could be faulted. The direction could be faulted. So I'm not putting it all on her. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this child was not affected by literally anything happening in the entire episode.
Yeah, we brought up earlier at one point she's just like, oh, she's like you said, she can't even speak. She's so shocked. Yeah. But then she's like, Jasper's great dog. I love him. It's like, does she not know what's going on?
Because that's a vehicle that you could use in a script to be like, the reason why we can't get information is because this character is traumatized. But instead, we learn that the character's not traumatized. They just did not write any dialogue for her in those earlier scenes.
It did. You mentioned direction. It almost felt like they didn't give her any specific direction.
Right. She's, of course, like, and as you know, she's not an adult actor, so she's not going to be like, okay, even though I'm not speaking,
what's my character?
My character? What's going on? She's a child, so she's just going to be like, I'm going to stand here because they haven't told me what to do.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think it's her fault at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like they just didn't really do a good job handling that character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they wanted from it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. I've got one ties in both of those, kind of both of your critiques of the performances by those two actors. The ambulance. Mine is
the vehicle itself.
Yeah, I didn't feel like the ambulance did a very convincing portrayal of an ambulance. There wasn't. The windows were apparently bulletproof. The siren, all these things.
That you're right. This ambulance was like, I gotta look heroic through this whole thing. I'm basically invulnerable.
Because if we're transporting Ryan and this girl by ambulance, you would think that some of the functionality of the ambulance would be important to the drive, and the strapping them down on gurneys is not enough. Like, you would want to be like giving them fluids or like whatever it is that you do to keep someone alive on the way to a hospital. Mm-hmm. Instead, it just is like a place to ride.
Yeah, a vessel, just an empty vessel. And that's all I'm saying is, from the outside, maybe an attractive shell, but there just was no depth and no real technique to the portrayal of this ambulance.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, just felt flat, I felt.
Yeah.
Do you think the ambulance showed up to work that day unprepared, basically?
But like, possibly, also possibly because they didn't give him lines. He just thought, well, I can just hang out here until they tell me what to do. Not unlike the little girl.
Or maybe they figured out maybe his agent showed up later and was like, you're obligated to give him lines. And so they were like, you got to work the siren in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's how an ambulance speaks.
Yeah. That's his lines, basically.
And then his lines are the sirens.
He felt caught off guard because he didn't have lines. And suddenly they're like, oh, yeah, okay, these all your lines quick. And he didn't really have time to prepare. But I mean, then again, that's on him. His level of professionalism.
Yeah, and we don't need, we've discussed it before as a society. But method acting is like, just show up and do your job. Just show up
it's true. You're an actor, so.
Yeah, you're an actor. Show up. You don't need to be method. You don't need to prepare.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like someone started off the show saying, you're a fire engine, and then suddenly said, no, wait, you're an ambulance.
Right, you've always been an ambulance. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether you're parked or driving, that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so next is Best Baddie.
So we got Colonel, so Space Spores.
And Space Spores.
Is there any other ones?
Various forms.
Dad, maybe.
I mean, we've kind of created a mythology behind Aunt Clara.
This is true. You know what? I think I'm going with Aunt Clara. Yeah. Good call.
Aunt Clara can be my best bet.
I feel bad for this kid.
This kid's life is only going to get worse.
Yeah, like, puppy honeymoon is not going to last long because Aunt Clara is in the house.
Because Aunt Clara, I also think that Aunt Clara was always living in her sister's shadow, right? Or her brother's shadow.
Her brother's shadow. He got the farm. He was the oldest, and the parents left him the farm. Yeah.
So now she has the farm, and what she is going to do is she's going to turn this farm into a money-generating machine, and so that little girl is going to be working. That little girl is going to be operating balers. She's going to be sticking her hand in places.
Yeah.
It's going to be like
fentanyl.
Yeah.
They're going to be running. Yeah.
Meth, everything.
We say it's heart pills, but it's really fentanyl.
It's fentanyl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Glycerin? Oh, no. Fentanyl.
And, you know, so.
No one's dealing Folgers coffee in this area now. You're going to be doing it, Katie. Yeah.
The rat is dead, but that has been shut down.
Yeah. Clara's bad news.
She's bad news indeed. But shout out to the space spores. I did like the visual of it. That was nice.
Yeah. I think mine would have to be the decompression chamber. the way he just kicked the space force ass, and no one questioned it. No one ever doubted the decompression chamber's ability to do what needed to be done. No, baddie meaning not badass, but bad as in sinister.
You know what? I love that interpretation of it, though.
You know what? I also like that interpretation because Space Boar is just doing what Space Boar are meant to do.
Just Space Boar.
It's not a villain. Yeah. It's like, you know, like,
and this chamber killed it.
Yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just another step in the evolutionary cycle.
Mm-hmm. The space force are going to have to really think hard about what they've done and kind of rethink their strategy and general approach and come back, I assume.
What I would do if I were the space force and I were regrouping is I would come back down, but I would target anyone that's near a decompression chamber and have him run into the room and explode and hopefully take out the decompression chamber so that the humans had no more, because we've learned, because they're eventually, take them out.
Yeah. Control a scientist and take them out.
Yeah.
If I were a spaceport, I would hook up with the dinosaurs and return to Earth.
Yeah.
They're out there somewhere preparing for the,
comeback.
It's like a rapture, but with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And and then come back with them. And I think that would be an award-winning team.
Makes sense.
By the way, thinking about it, don't you guys think that either the idea of like aliens, which is usually the trope, like an actual like kind of humanoid alien coming and attacking humans or something like that, or this sort of idea of something like a space spore or a virus or something like from space, that's way more terrifying, don't you think?
Yes.
Especially think about just how like COVID went. And you're like, the idea of, I don't know, that's way more terrifying to me than.
An airborne pathogen is
just like, it's like game over.
Yeah. It like really is like, you know, if I don't know if you've ever read The Stand or anything like that.
But I haven't read that one. Yeah. Stephen King, Three Times a Charm. You got him in there.
It's a super flu, but it like, but essentially it has a 98% killing rate. So it's like one of those things where
thankfully I'm part of the 1%. So it doesn't affect me.
It also takes, just like COVID, it takes a few days for symptoms to appear. So you don't even know you've been affected. Oh, so
that's
it's like
the worst, right? Yeah.
And there's even passages in the book where it's like almost like the Bible, where it'll be like, this person gave it to 15 people. This person went in here and gave it to like 25 people. Oh, this person,
it's terrifying. Look, you got to appreciate Space Force because they give us all a chance. They're like, look, we're going to be very visual. You're going to see it right away. You got these like very neon, colorful neon veins popping out. Which is clear about what's going on.
Evolutionarily, very disadvantageous.
Absolutely. But I feel like I feel like they're a kinder spore. They're like, we're going to do some fucked up stuff, but we're giving you all a chance.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, spores, be kinder out there.
Yeah.
And they usually say that something with like a higher degree of lethality has a quicker degree of like its extinction rate is a lot. Like it burns out really quickly because it kills all its hosts. So you need to keep your hosts alive in order to spread it more. So
Well, it's better to burn out than to fade away.
Yeah.
Neil Young said, that's what their idea is.
Okay. So, and finally, we're going to rate the episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs, 1 being the low end, 6 being the high.
Oh, I have nothing to compare it against other than my own expectations.
Since you can go blind. We got Bogerhaus in there.
Or if you want to see what our scores are. Yeah, go ahead, right ahead of you.
I'm just going to give it a 7 in that case.
Yes.
Okay.
Just expand the scale.
I love that.
Love it.
Koshka, my recommendation to you is watch more Baywatch Nights, because I think there's much better episodes out there, actually.
There really are, Even the last episode was better.
Yeah, Vampire Flugen.
Vampires are right up my alley.
Yeah. Oh, you'll like that episode. It's really good. Yeah, this one, I mentioned earlier, it does feel like it's a very small, short script. There's a lot of like action, so to speak, but a lot of it's in slow motion. A lot of stuff just didn't make sense. This was very fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But watching it, I was like, this is not a very good episode. Yeah. I felt like
it wasn't very interesting for what was happening. And like, because what was happening was interesting, but they did not portray it in an interesting way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I actually, before we rate this episode, I do have an update based on last week's conversation. Go ahead. I talked to my mom this weekend because I was down visiting her, and I asked her about the bank account thing, and she said indeed she was not able to have her own personal bank account until 1974.
That's so wild.
By law, and that when she went to college, her father took her down to the bank and opened an account that he had to co-sign on.
You gotta, and oh my god,
this is her over 18, so this That's is insane. Not so like opening it for a child.
Any unmarried woman would need, like, still need, like, a male sponsor, a male or co-sponsor of some sort,
until whether a father or whoever. It's
insane. So he brought this up on the last episode of this podcast.
Credit cards.
And I never heard of it before, and it just blew my mind because I was just like, that's insane.
1974 was the first time a woman could walk into a bank and open a bank account on her own or apply for a credit card. Wow. And if you had, so like, she was saying that my grandma had credit cards that she used, but they all said, like, my grandpa's name Mrs. Whatever, Mrs. You know, his name.
Wow. That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Banks. What the fuck? That's the first evil thing I've heard them do.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
So that's a little follow up. I am going to give this episode a 3.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'll go 2.5. Yeah. It truly was very fun to talk about score. It. Though. What do you got? What do you got? Yeah.
I'm going to change my score. I'm going to give it 2.75.
Guess what the difference? You know what? I almost expected you to go 8.
Drop.
That's quite a drop. I almost expected you to say 8.
2.75.
Yeah, that's quite a drop.
Yeah. It. I like the concept.
I like that they're trying something a little different, like, here. Space spores.
Yeah, but it just was not executed.
A lot of stuff that didn't make sense. Yeah.
I'm going to urge Baywatch Nights, a show that has been off the air for 30 years.
Yeah.
Urge this show to just like push down on the gas pedal. Like, don't be afraid to go harder in the paint. You know, like if you're going to do a space board, like, up that body count, like, let's see
more humans infected.
Yeah, yes,
and
exactly.
They're talking like spore talks or some wood talk.
Yes,
or something.
I want to hear spore voices. I want to be actually scared by this rather than the only thing that was scary to me was me thinking about what the actual implications of a space spore would be rather than the way it was depicted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, I would like to encourage those same writers to do a spinoff about the cat.
Would love that. Yes. What is that cat up to now?
Boogerhoof's Nights.
Boogerhoof's
Nights. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, Koshka, thank you so much for being here.
Yes. Thank you so much, Koshka. Oh,
it was an honor and an absolute delight. Thank you both so much.
Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
I would say it's coming up. Well, we have something in the works that's going to be super fun. If UCB accepts our pitch, it's a cat themed fundraiser variety show, and I'll be reaching out to you both about it as well as
amazing.
We are.
Amazing!
And we'll keep everyone posted on dates and details. We're shooting for June because it's Foster a Companion Animal Month, I believe. I may have just made that up, but it should be. If not. Yeah, so we're firming up all the details. But that's going to be super, super fun and amazing. And wherever we end up putting it on, that'll be great.
I love that idea. That's wonderful. Also, I hope this podcast puts a little pressure on UCB. Put the show up, please.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yay.
Do
it.
Yes.
Christine's listening right now.
Yeah.
She's the only one that has a live stream.
Oh.
No, just kidding. Yes. No, I hopefully we have that show up. That sounds wonderful and amazing. So, and look forward to it.
Well, thank you again for being here, Koshka.
Thank you, Koshka.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, absolutely. And Zach and I will be here next week with an all new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. And until then,
stay wet
at
night.
When the waves are crashing.
Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.